Good afternoon and welcome to Who's in the Kitchen. You're listening to WDRT Community Radio 91.9 FM coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin in the Driftless area. And you can also listen to this show and previous podcasts or on our podcasts on our archives. Just go to Who's in the Kitchen on WDRT.org. And you can always listen on the internet. If you just can't get our signal, our radio signal, which is probably about 25 miles. But people are listening all over the world to our community radio station here in the Driftless, southwestern Wisconsin. And today I'm going to talk with Asia Smith, who is representing Sittin' Pretty Farm. And some of you locally probably are aware that there's a Sittin' Pretty Farm that serves pizza on Friday nights. And so I thought a lot of you might not really know what goes on there, where it is, how to get there, how you get a pizza, what's the whole idea of it. And so Asia's been working on this farm and is a friend of the owner and is going to tell us all about Sittin' Pretty and pizza. Because I've been there, and it's pretty darn good pizza, and there's a lot of people serving pizza here in Viroqua, but there's some special things about this pizza and just the whole enterprise of Sittin' Pretty. So welcome, Asia, to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here, and do you know how Sittin' Pretty got started? Did it start with pizza, or was it just a farm? I know there's B&B cabins there. I mean, do you know anything about the origins of it?
Yeah, so Steve purchased the farm back in 2019, and started out with a few rentals on the property, and then he just had this idea of creating an event space, and I think at first he started with the idea of having, like, a bakery, and then it kind of evolved into pizza. And everything he has going on out there is to support his nonprofit, which is Further Along.
Further Along is the name of the nonprofit.
Yeah.
And it's Steve Lawless.
Yep.
And he used to be a teacher.
He did, over at the Waldorf School.
Yeah. And he just seems to have a lot of interest in youth and promoting activities for young people.
For sure.
Yeah. So, those buildings that showed up there, I mean, did he build them? Did he move them there? Do you know anything about that?
The two smaller rentals that he has on the property, I believe he built those. The big party barn that he has and then the big main house were built by Steve also, along with the Amish community that lives out there. They put in a lot of work to help him build those places.
I see. Well, I got to tour one night when it wasn't too busy. And it's very amazing decor style and architecture. Really, really fun. If you have friends that are going to be in town and they're looking for some lodging, you know, these cabins are available. And I'm wondering, do you go to Further Along or you go to Sittin' Pretty? If you wanted to.
For the website.
So there's a website where you would find out about lodging there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would be sittin'prettyfarm.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's Further Along?
Further Along is his nonprofit that he has where he takes kids, youth, college kids, out on summer camps. And they do a lot of service work. They also explore the outdoors. He runs a few camps down in Louisiana where they do a lot of planting of trees. And then a few camps here in the summertime where he takes kids hiking and kayaking. This year he did a little bit of rock climbing. And then part of that camp is also them giving back in some way. So this year, the kids served like 600 people or something in a food pantry. So that's all part of his camp. It's about exploring the outdoors and then also teaching them about the goodness of giving
that
back.
It is amazing that one person dreamed this up and got it going.
Yeah.
I mean, it exists. And I've seen the buses and the canoes and things like that, you know. So it's very interesting. Then he got the idea of doing pizza. So just kind of explain how that goes. They make pizza just on Friday nights, right?
Yep, and the dough is brought in from Rhythm Bakery right here in town.
Yes, so I handled that dough, and it was lovely,
yeah.
And it's sourdough dough. So the dough comes in balls, and then volunteers come and help make the pizzas.
Yeah, so we have a pretty consistent staff of regular volunteers that are there every Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever nonprofit we're raising money for, we'll send in volunteers to kind of run the rest of the kitchen and run pizzas out to people, and then they get a portion of the profits from the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's all volunteer run.
I think that's just amazing. Now, I was part of two different groups that were nonprofits that were sponsored there. So each week, there's a different nonprofit that is sponsored, and they come and do the labor, as you said. But there's regulars that kind of show them the ropes.
Yeah.
So you're not just coming without any guidance. And then we had terrible nights. WDRT had one night, and Verroco Plastic Free had the other Friday night. It was just pouring rain, and very few people came. But we still were sort of guaranteed a minimum amount that we were able to take home, and it was just really helpful. And it gets sitting pretty, known better and better, because each week it's a different nonprofit.
Yeah.
People come there and help, and then they see what's going on. They tell their friends. It's just spread the word.
Yeah.
Well, the other unique thing about the pizza, one unique thing, is that it's a wood-fired pizza.
Yeah. In a gorgeous oven.
In a gorgeous oven. And so someone is pretty much designated each Friday night to really man the oven, because those pizzas are done like in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't watch them, they'll burn, because that fire is like, I don't know, 700 or 800 degrees. It's really hot.
It is really, really hot.
But that's where you really whip out the pizzas quickly. And I noticed a lot of people come and, you encourage people to call ahead.
Yes.
And so they know how many pizzas they're
doing. Yeah, we have a very limited amount, so ordering ahead of time is always
That would be good. I know we just came in and ordered pizza, and it was possible, but it was kind of a slow night. But you have three or four different choices of toppings.
Yeah, I think we have like 5 different pizzas right now. And then throughout the summer, they pretty much stay consistent. But then as different produce comes in from other farms, we might be able to switch things up a bit. So I think last year we had a pizza with poblano peppers on it. And, you know, but pretty much they stay consistent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of like to dive into the actual pizza making and what goes into each pizza and why they're so good.
Sure.
I noticed there was one pizza that does not have tomato sauce on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a white pizza. And what else is on it? What
that
is on
one
it?
Is garlic, mushrooms, cheese, and it's a cream sauce instead of a red sauce.
Uh-huh. And I thought that was delicious. I mean, at first I thought, you know, this doesn't seem like pizza, but it's pretty popular.
It's really good.
And so the other pizzas sort of have a marinara sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are some of the other choices?
There's a margarita pizza. We also have a sausage, pep and step, which is pepperoni, peppers, black olives. There's a sausage pizza, which is actually sausage that Steve has raised the pork for.
Oh, great.
Which is kind of cool.
I was wondering if it's as local ingredients as possible. And, well, sort of organic or grass-fed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The sourdough from Rhythm Bakery.
Yeah.
You know, that's just right nearby. And I'm sure a lot of the veggies are on, you know, locally.
For sure.
And I was wondering, do you know what cheese they use?
Gosh, they have a combination of a goat cheese and a mozzarella.
Mm-hmm. Because this is definitely cheese country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so when I worked there, I'm glad I got to work there because I can describe it a little bit, but people are there to kind of help you. But, you know, it's a little... I can't think of the word, but you know, everybody has their station and they know what their part is, and then they pass the crust along. You toss your own crust, and then you know it moves along to the toppings and things. Then the pizzas get put in the oven, and with these great big paddles, it's just really interesting. You know, what are they called?
A pizza peel.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's a big, long metal peel that they pull the pizzas out with. And then they go into boxes and get delivered all around.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids there. I mean, it just seems like it's a wonderful family place to go to.
Yeah.
Or take your out-of-town guests to go for an outdoor pizza thing. So that's really fun. And there's a music aspect to this.
Right.
So not only do they announce who is the nonprofit that's going to be making the money there. They announce who the band is going to be.
Yeah.
And they're local bands.
They are.
So do they get paid?
They do. They
so get that's, paid. Good. Yeah. I'm glad to see that. Okay. So everybody's kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're making money because everybody's chipping in.
Yeah, and they play a role in deciding who the nonprofit is for the night too.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of nonprofits who will call in and ask, can we be part of your pizza night? And so Steve definitely has like a list of people. But then I think it's a really cool aspect that the musicians can kind of weigh in on who they would like to be a part of raising money for that night.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a connection, personal connection. And then I noticed a lot of people, especially when it was raining, people called in and they just came and did carryouts.
Yeah.
And didn't stay around. But I was afraid that we would all be sitting out in the rain, and that's not what happens.
No.
There's plenty of room to sit inside. And a wonderful room upstairs where the band can perform if it's raining, and tables and chairs and people could be upstairs and downstairs. I saw there was a big garage that has tables and chairs that people could expand over to. But when I had been before on a nice night, it's outdoors with lots of picnic tables and the band's outside, and that's fun too. But people shouldn't be discouraged by rain.
No, not at all.
I thought maybe it would just be a... and close it down or something like that. But no, it worked out fine. And it's a beautiful setting. So, explain how you get out there.
So there's signs right on the corner, right as you're leaving town, if you're going towards Reedstown, so on 14. And then you're going to turn on NN right on that corner there. And you're going to kind of wind through Amish country, and you're going to find yourself there in about... 5 minutes. It's about 6 miles, so maybe more like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's further than I thought.
Yeah.
So it is, you think, am I on the same road? But it's NN all the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you'll see signs, and the whole complex is there, and with one of the most beautiful views in the county, I think.
Yeah, and the best sunsets.
Yes, absolutely beautiful. Well, that's why it's called Sittin' Pretty, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The money that's made how does the nonprofit make its money? Is it partly having the pizza place and is the bed and breakfast? How does Steve do all these camping trips and
Everything that he runs out there is run under the umbrella of his nonprofit, which I said is further along.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a big bus called the Mary Green Marvel, and that's what he runs the summer camps on, which has been a converted school bus. And so that has a bunch of beds in it and a kitchen, and so that's what he takes the kids on camps in. And then both of his... he has three rentals now of Airbnb rentals. That all contributes to his nonprofit. He also has a little cabin in the woods called the Hermitage, which is a place for people to come and just be in solitude, and there's no electricity or running water. And that's more of a donation base, if people want to come out and enjoy that space. And so all of that together kind of just fuels all the things that he's doing for the kids and community.
I think that's just really amazing. So he has a website. A Sittin' Pretty Farm, where you can find out that information. And also, if you want really up-to-date information, there's a Facebook page. So you can find out who the band is and what group you're supporting at that time. So did he get his idea from someplace else? Is anybody else doing this, or is this just...
I think there's a lot of pizza farms around, but I think the unique aspect of this all funding nonprofits is something that is specific to this place. Steve grew up in Iowa on a farm, and his mother's name was Evelyn, and she was really into feeding anybody who came along who was looking for a meal, and just that feeling of goodwill and giving back, and he's just been raised with that in him to be able to have that idea of giving back to community and creating a space where people can kind of come together and share food and good experiences. And just be held in a space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was really amazed to find out there are people that volunteer there almost every weekend.
Yeah.
You're one of those people.
Yeah, I've been there for about 3 years. So we started 3 years ago, and I've been there since the beginning.
How did you get together with Steve on this?
Sure. At the time, I was going through a divorce, and I was driving around wondering what my next steps were going to be in my life. And I saw this big, beautiful house, and I pulled over and took a picture of it because I was wondering who lives here. This is such a unique space. And then I was scrolling through Craigslist looking for rentals, and that house was on Craigslist as an ad. And so I reached out and then realized it was Steve behind the ad, and we had known each other in the past. And so I went out there and we just had really long conversations about just life and things like that and his vision for the space. And I ended up renting that house for a year with my kids. And yeah, we just through that time kind of just talked about, I had always had dreams of having a pizza farm, and he had always had dreams of creating this container for giving back to the community. And so I think those two things together kind of, you know, through those conversations, things evolved that way. And then at the time it was COVID. So I think we were all kind of reaching for this idea of like, how do we create spaces for us to still hold on to that heart piece and not become so disconnected? Yeah. And I think that's just, things have just evolved from there.
Boy, that's a lot of serendipity.
It was, yeah.
So you're not in that house anymore.
I'm not.
But that's a rental house.
It is a rental, yep.
I don't remember the house, though. Is that?
Oh, the big, it's like a big metal house right by the garage. Oh, right. Yeah, like right when you pull in the driveway.
Oh, right at the intersection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, well, that's really wonderful. So there, yeah, the piece of land, that interests me. How did you know?
Yeah, so it was owned by Tommy Gardner, and Steve bought the property from him. And he was kind of a interesting guy who just had lots of, I think from what I've heard, it was kind of like a, I say this in a very loving way, a junkyard of sorts with lots of old farm machinery and lots of metal and lots of things around. And so Steve kind of saw that as an inspiration to clean the space up and make it into what it is today. But he's really paid tribute to Tommy by keeping a lot of his things that he had there. Like rundown farm equipment has become like the decor, you know? And kind of the inspiration for the buildings. You know, it's a lot of like old rusty metal. And so I think that brings the unique touches to what that space looks like.
Yes. If you just go for pizza, you haven't seen all that's there.
Yeah.
Very unique. Yeah, he's got some ponds and, mm-hmm. Yeah, done a lot of landscaping. I'm just amazed at how much has been done out there.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Yeah. So, what are you doing now, Asia?
Well, I'm not out there consistently every Friday, but probably every other Friday. And we have a girl who is working at the front now, which was kind of my role. And so now I've kind of gotten to step into kind of like overseeing that front end part and just making sure everyone's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And who's the lady who's doing the...
Her name is Taryn.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes. I met her.
Yeah.
Yes. It's very nice and welcoming. Mm-hmm. Very friendly. Not just like... you know, take out pizza place.
No, not at all. It's really about the experience for sure.
Right, it is. So one other idea I think you wanted to mention about what Steve's doing at Sitting Pretty.
Yeah, so Steve has this great kitchen space that he really would like to offer to people who may be starting a culinary business as a place to use because it's a certified kitchen. So offering that at like incredibly reasonable rates and... that would just be having a conversation with him and seeing what you can do out there. But it's a really great opportunity.
Right. It is great because that is really not being used during the week and
right.
could be used by other small enterprises. A great idea. These mm-hmm. community kitchens are just, you know, priceless.
Yep. And it can be rented, the space itself too, the party barn and everything could be rented for weddings. We've had weddings out there before and any other event.
Yeah. Truly memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have another job?
I do. I manage Airbnbs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm busy. This is my busy, busy season for mm-hmm. sure.
What else do you manage?
I mean, just the Airbnbs pretty much. Yeah.
Just for different friends? Or
yeah, yeah. I mean,
you
I have a couple of
and...
I have a couple clients that I've managed their properties. And then I also do house sitting, dog walking. Right now I'm on mm-hmm. like a 10-day house sitting gig for mm-hmm. some people. I don't know. I kind of have just, I used to work at Driftless Cafe, and then I worked at Rooted Spoon, and I spent a lot of time in the hospitality world. And I think when COVID hit, it completely shifted what that life looked like. And then I just kind of started filling in with a lot of like gig work. And I really love that because I'm just my own boss and I kind of just float around and do what needs to be done. But I also find myself incredibly busy.
Well, I'm sure you do. When I first moved here, that's really what people did. I mean, farmers didn't make money just farming. Mm-hmm. And so there were all kinds of people doing gig work, as you say. I don't think we even had the word for it then, but just a little of this and a little of that. You know, there was a pickle factory in Reedstown, and there were just different, you know, seasonal things.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, sometimes people did, you know, worked for the town and graded roads, or they worked for the nursing home, or just, you know, whatever you could get, because really farming just didn't, you know, cover it all. And even when, things have changed now that the internet has permitted people to work at home.
Yeah.
Because now people from the outside, quite a few people have moved here who do not grow up here. And it has, it's changed the area to a certain extent, I think mostly for the better, to make it a little bit more cosmopolitan and, you know, creative in the opportunities that people have out here, which some small communities aren't very, not much is going on, in other words. Mm-hmm. But I see a lot of young people who want to move back here, raise their kids here, because this is just a really interesting community.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Yeah. I just want to say that you're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM, coming from Viroqua, Wisconsin, in southwestern Wisconsin. And at WDRT.org, which is our website, and you can listen to this show and previous shows. And I'm talking with Asia Smith, who is part and parcel of Sittin' Pretty Farm outside of Viroqua, which is a pizza farm and a bed and breakfast and a huge nonprofit enterprise out NN. At the south edge of town, you find NN and go about 6 miles, and you'll come to Sittin' Pretty Farm. And so we've just been talking about the pizza they make there and the money they make there for nonprofits, the involvement of volunteers in every way, and just the vision that Steve Lawless has had to set up Sittin' Pretty Farm, which I guess has been going since about 2019. Me thinking about that? Yeah, mm-hmm. Asia?
Yeah.
And yeah, yes, COVID really, it really challenged, especially, you know, the restaurant industry. And I was involved quite a bit. I'm a little bit further south, so Soldiers Grove had the Old Oak Inn, and they bought their inn just as COVID hit.
Oh, yeah.
They had it like a week before the shutdown. Wow. It was like, oh no, we bought a restaurant. We can't even serve food. So they came up with an outdoor service and musicians out on the porch. I don't know if you've been to the Old Oak Inn.
I have not, but I really want to go.
Oh, that was great. And, you know, having the outdoor, people brought their own food, or they could order food and have it served outside. Kids could run around. The musicians were on the porch. And so it, you know, musicians really suffer with something like COVID, where they're, you know, all the venues are closed. So these outdoor venues like Sittin' Pretty were just perfect for that. And it kept people going, and it kept the community going, because a lot of the suffering that happened during COVID was just isolation of people from other people and not being able to socialize. So Sittin' Pretty kind of, you know, it just evolved and became this place where pizza was going to be served every Friday night, wood-fired pizza, and all done by volunteers for nonprofits. It's a beautiful conception, and it came from Steve Lawless, a teacher in the area who's now really devoting himself to young people and worthwhile activities for them to do. So Asia has been giving us a wonderful rundown on Sittin' Pretty Farm. So, tell us a little bit more about
you. So I think one of the things I love so much about Sittin' Pretty is there was also this idea of, you know, the conversation you have about, there's so many different groups in this area as far as the people who have lived here forever, you know, the locals, and then you have the Waldorf community. And how do you bridge the gaps between those divides that might seem pretty prevalent, but when you come together over food and community, it's not so much. So there was this idea of just, how do you create space for people to sit down and share a good meal and listen to some good music and see a beautiful sunset? And I just love the way that Sittin' Pretty has brought all of that together. We raise money for different organizations like the Junior Dairy Association or Bethel Boutique, Living Faith Food Pantry. And I just love the way it brings everyone together. And last year we raised a little over $21,000 to give back to community organizations. And I think we raised money for about 28 different nonprofits. So
that is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you shared how much money was actually being taken in. I mean, this is really a significant amount. Mm-hmm. And I have been really impressed with these community efforts, such as Soup,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of run by the Chamber of Commerce in Viroqua, and nonprofits come there to make a little pitch for a donation, and people come and pay for soup and a piece of bread for $5, mm-hmm. and then they get to vote on the four competing nonprofits. And that event has just grown from, like, you know, 25 people to standing room only. They keep moving it to mm-hmm. a bigger place. And it again is crossing all the, you know, the cultural, social boundaries, mm-hmm. and everybody is just coming together to just support these wonderful nonprofit enterprises that are making their presentations.
Yeah.
And so it's I'm glad you mentioned that part, because I think when we have gone through a lot of changes as far as outsiders coming in to small towns.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved here, it was like we all wanted to go back to the land. We all wanted a piece of land, you know. But the kids that I meet now, they want to be in town.
Mm-hmm.
They like small towns, and their kids can be on a bike and go to the library and go to the swimming pool and, you know, get to school by walking. And so some small towns just don't seem to kind of get off the ground, and other ones are really delightful, and people are really happy to be in a small town. But then it does bring outsiders, and certainly the Waldorf School brought in a lot mm-hmm. of outside people, because people could... Waldorf movement is a worldwide movement, and people can go online and find out where's the nearest Waldorf school.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people found out there were Waldorf schools in small towns instead of big cities, that was a draw too.
Mm-hmm.
So that brought in a lot of energy, but it also brought in people who didn't have much connection necessarily with local people.
Yeah.
But I think what really can unite everybody is just loving this land,
mm-hmm.
loving this area and the pure water and the great farmland. And, you know, people who come out here really want to protect it and be involved in community efforts to value what we have in the agriculture. And that's how I got involved in doing a farm show on
mm-hmm.
here. I thought, well, because people are interested in food, maybe they should learn a little bit more about what's happening with farming, especially. And we have just, you know, a great organic farming movement here in southwestern Wisconsin. So all these things kind of came together. So I've been doing the food show now, a farming show on the last Saturday of every month, same time, noon. And so we have been just talking. I'm talking with Asia Smith about Sittin' Pretty Farm, how it kind of fits in to our developing culture here, which just makes it a really fun place to live. There's so much going on.
Yeah, and I think it really kind of gives a space for people to really feel held and within their community. You know, I was just thinking about a couple of different things that we've done as far as raising money, even for, you know, a local farmer, his farmhouse burned down. And so then one night we had a music event for him just to raise money to, like, get his house
wow.
back in order. And actually it was more about buying his instruments, buying him new instruments again, because he's a musician as well. So that was a really beautiful
thing.
And then that has kind of started this community hardship fund. So that was another organization that we raised money for, where that's just giving money back to people who might be experiencing some hardships. So that's very cool. And then also out at Sittin' Pretty, we have Pay It Forward Pizza, which I don't know if we got to mention that yet, but that's a really exciting thing.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so Pay It Forward Pizza is basically people can order a Pay It Forward Pizza, and then at the end of the night, if we have extra, you know, it doesn't always happen that night, but it's on the nights when we might have some extra pizza, then I'll go and deliver them to the hospital or go deliver them to the EMTs or the police department. So it's kind of like us giving back to our first responders or anybody who might need to have some dinner provided for them.
Yeah. That is a great idea. I had no idea. I just went out there for pizza. Mm-hmm. Then I went out there because I was in a group that was being sponsored mm-hmm. that week. And I've gone out there because I knew the musicians that were going to play. So there's a lot of reasons to go and see. Do you remember some of the musical groups that have played?
We've had Bill Fiorella and Sean Neary. Tim Eddy has been out there. Neil Knutson. Lou Shields. And his wife, Stacy, who owns Driftless Artifacts, was another sweet little community thing where at the beginning we were looking for some quilts in order to provide picnic spaces for people. And she owns this vintage clothing and textile business, and she donated a bunch of quilts for us to kind of have for people to sit on. So that was really sweet. Annie and the Crush. We had a little concert series 2 winters ago, and we had Humbird and Eric Tesmer. I'm trying to think. There's been so many different.
Oh, there's been many. You have some that return, though.
Right? Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were going to say, just mention a little bit about the decor.
Oh, sure. So just rusty old metal, and basically. A lot of corrugated metal. There's old farm light fixtures, and Steve has old tractors out there that are holding flower pots, you know, things like that.
Are the cabins all, you know, do they have facilities or are more, they all have plumbing?
They all have plumbing and they all have electricity except for the Hermitage in the woods. And that one is a little bit more just like off-grid and a retreat for people to find center again.
That is really great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Asia. I've really enjoyed talking with you about a Sittin' Pretty farm and pizza enterprise, and Further Along, which is the umbrella nonprofit that operates all this. And so I've been talking with Asia Smith, and she is working with Steve Lawless to make a just amazing social and food and music environment outside of Viroqua, Wisconsin. So thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And thanks for tuning in to Who's in the Kitchen. And we'll see you next week.